Such a wonderful opportunity, Darren, to be able to speak about praise and what it is doing in our lives. Those of you who are listening, you probably wonder sometimes if Darren and I learn what we teach, and we do. Our teaching sometimes is really for us, isn't it? It's a blessing to be able to not only teach, but to be the recipient of that teaching in the Holy Spirit.
Well, if you don't learn it, you know, now the lesson will be repeated someplace.
That's
you better
right.
learn it.
That's know. Right. So I say today, as we said in our first teaching, and if you don't have that first tape, please write to us, Darren in Denver, Box 37367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you can call us at our number, and we will get you a tape.
Well, naturally, we're going to put this in a two-tape series on praise, and you'll be able to get it also on a two-tape series, and we'll make that available to you. So just write to our office, and we'll get that information out to you.
I know. We thought this might be in just one tape, but it's just too much. Praise in the whole Word of God is just overflowing. And we say today, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Yesterday, Darren, we were talking about Abraham and Moses and Hannah and how their prayers resulted in great deliverance. And today I think it would be really good to get into David. David has some praise here. I mean, it covers a lot of the Old Testament. And
well, you know, when God said, David is a man after my own heart, and God loved David, and David loved God, and David was always showing his love for God and his mighty praises in the book of Psalms. And I get just excited when I see how David just praised the Lord, even when he was under great attack. He was running for his life.
That's right. And when the enemy was hotly pursuing him, and did you notice in these Psalms that we're going to go over that not once did he mention King Saul or any of his army? He called them his enemies because he knew that King Saul was a man who was appointed by God to rule over Israel, and he would not touch that. He would not call an enemy by name. But Saul was, in part, his enemy, who was pursuing him hotly and diligently and vehemently,
well,
continually.
Well, you're very kind when you say he was his enemy in part. He was out to kill him.
That's right.
And, you know, he tried to nail him at one point with a javelin, and he did all kinds of things and sent people looking for him because he wanted his head.
Yes.
And he wanted it separated from his body.
He did. He had an evil spirit within him. Some of the verses we're going to go through because we don't have the time, but Psalm 3 is a wonderful psalm about deliverance. And when David was being hotly pursued, he said, "He's the glory and the lifter of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill." And this is what David said, "He's the glory and the lifter of my head." So if you feel like you're under your circumstances today, you're down under something, lift up your head, because he will lift up your head and you will see the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah.
And praising is something we can do by an act of our will. It will change everything in our circumstances. Mm-hmm. And you know, we shared on the first part of this series about how when we begin to praise God, he goes to work on our behalf, and he will set ambushments against our enemies.
That's right.
And he did that over and over for David. I mean, Saul was absolutely going crazy. Today we'd say going nuts trying to find this David character. Mm-hmm. And yet David sometimes was across the canyon, he'd yell over and wave at Saul.
Wave at him.
And it had to be tremendously humiliating for the king.
Real,
who was trying to kill this guy.
I know. One thing really daring is one day King Saul was relieving himself in a cave, and David actually went up behind him. He was so close to him, he could have killed him, and he tore off a part of his robe. And then when the king came out, he went running. And then he across the ravine here, he was waving this piece of King Saul's robe. I mean, that must have been, I mean, something that made King Saul very upset when he saw that he had been so close to him.
And David had to have a very sharp knife to be able to pull that off, too.
And he had a sense of humor, too. Oh, and Psalm 16 says, "In his presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand are pleasures forevermore." If you want pleasures, if you want joy, get close to Jesus. He will give you that.
You know, when you begin to come in, and there is protocol here, we need to talk just a little bit about that here. When you come into the gates of heaven and on into the courts of God's kingdom, God's heaven, God's throne room, let's say it that way, You need to come in praising him. So that's the protocol. You need to come in here realizing who you are. You're a human in the flesh, and here you are as a human, and here I am as Almighty God. Mm-hmm. Now, you're my children spiritually, but you still need to come in praising me, thanking me, glorifying me, lifting me up for who I am. Mm-hmm. And that puts us in the right perspective here. We get God where he should be in our thinking and in our hearts, and we need to realize who we are.
That's right.
Now, certainly he says, I've raised you up and seated me in the heavenly places, but still we need to praise him because of who he is.
Amen. I agree. I really do. We go on to Psalm 18, and the scripture that it correlates with Psalm 18 is 2 Samuel 22, and this is when the Lord delivered his, David, we're talking of David, from the hand of all of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He says in this prayer, I love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. Again, here he didn't actually specifically say Saul, but he says, you have delivered me from my enemies.
And you know, here it's almost prophetic and talking about Jesus in a sense, talking about God being his rock. And Jesus is also called the rock. And Jesus, of course, is called the Lord. But we're referring to Father God here as Lord. And really, we could say almost we have Jesus here in the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. You are my rock. Mm-hmm. You are my rock. I've got something to stand on here.
That's right. And we encourage you to read all of Psalm 18. It is one of the highlighted psalms. And it goes on to say, for thee I can run upon a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. As for my God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a shield to all who take refuge in him. For who is God but the Lord? Hallelujah.
Also, there's a verse here in Psalm 18, at verse 20. The Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness. We talked earlier about practicing righteousness, which is a New Testament concept. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's specifically stated that way. You need to practice righteousness. Well, Abraham did that in believing God, and of course, that was accounted unto him as righteousness. Mm-hmm. But then it goes on to say, according to the cleanness of my hands, he has recompensed me. Another part of the book of Psalms that says, he will not hear my prayer if I regard iniquity in my heart. Mm-hmm. When you come to the Father God, you need to, as one of my friends said, I need to be all confessed up. I need to know the living God and the power, you know, of his ability to save me and to take my sins and wash them away.
That's right.
So if you have sin in your life right now and you're listening to this message, repent. That's a divine privilege in this matter of repentance, and I praise God that we have that.
That's right. While he was still running from his enemies, he said in the 33rd verse of Psalm 18, he makes my feet like hind's feet. Now, where do we hear that again? We hear that in Habakkuk 3:17. So we know that Habakkuk read the Psalms because he had that memorized. He sets me upon my high places. He trains my hands for battle so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. Ah, mighty,
you know,
warrior.
We were going up by I-70 the other day, and we saw, during hunting season, we saw men unloading horses, and they're heading up into the high country to hunt. Now, I want to tell you, they didn't take a horse up there that's not sure-footed. You want a horse that's the front feet and the back feet track the same, mm-hmm. and that's really what is so unique about a hind. The front feet, the back feet, they track the same as they go up and down the mountains, and that's a matter of security, he's mm-hmm. saying. I want to be secure.
Yes.
I believe that.
Yes.
You believe that, Barbara?
Oh, absolutely, yes. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He actually wrote this psalm when he was being pursued again. And this is a psalm of peace and quietness. And he was pursued and he was running for his life. And yet God gave him peace during this time. Psalm 34 is one of my favorites. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Do you know when this was written, Darren? It was during 1 Samuel 20 and 21 when he feigned madness before Abimelech and who drove him away, and he departed from this city. He wanted to get refuge from this king, but it didn't work out. And he actually put spit on his beard and scratched the gates of the wall so that they wouldn't believe that he was a sane man, that he was insane, so he could get away.
And it worked.
And it worked, but my goodness, what he had to go through. But here is a psalm that he wrote right after that. What a great psalm. The angel of the Lord encamps about those who fear him. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good.